Okay, appreciate it. The cotton industry support group started several years ago trying to incentivize basically having students come and one, have some practice presenting, but two, one of the most valuable things for me as a student was to come to this conference and to meet those of you that are doing, you know, ginning research and engineering research and applying those things in real life and trying to make money at it. And it's been incredibly beneficial to have those relationships. So the Cotton Industry Support Group started this student paper competition several years ago, and this year we had seven folks sign up. One of those dropped out, and the other one, Dr. Parnell, presented the paper for because his student was out of pocket. And some of Dr. Parnell's former students took it upon themselves to go ahead and judge him today, and he scored dead last in this competition. But there may have been a little bit of vengeance there. I don't know. But we had a very good competition this year. We had folks from five different schools, and so I appreciate all the judges that took the time to judge those folks. And Kelly is the chairman, president, I don't know, of our cotton industry support group, and he wrote the checks, so he's going to present those. So we'll make this quick, but third place this year went to a student from Clemson, Shin Chow, who I don't believe is here anymore. Now, there you go. Yeah. So, Harrison just changed his name. Yeah. Second place this year goes to Wes Porter from Oklahoma State University. Wes is getting a $200 check. Derek Whitelock suggested we pay him in cash so he could take us to the bar next year. And first place this year goes to Curtis Cribben from Texas A&M University. All right. Thank you guys for your support. Thanks for taking the time to get to know these students and help them figure out how to take what they're doing in labs and research and make it applicable to the real world. So appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Brock. All right, next speaker, Kelly Green with the Texas Cotton Gin Association, present developing new emission factors with Texas cotton ginners industry.
Thank you. You guys have been hearing Dr. Buster and Dr. Whitelock and Cliff Boykin talk about the emission factor test that's been going on for 5 or 6 years now, and we're now at the point where we're putting it into play. And there were really two big drivers in the timing on this thing. One of them was in California, and the Californians have a master plan for emission reductions. And when the state estimated the PM2.5 emissions for California, they estimated it really high, and the Californians were going to have to come in and retrofit a lot of their cotton gins and drop their emissions a whole bunch. It was going to be a big deal. Based on this data, when this test started, the state of California and EPA actually stopped the whole implementation plan and waited for this test to be finished. So that's how big of a deal this was to the state of California and to EPA. So we were under the gun to get that out as quickly as possible. That part of it's been completed, and now some of us are trying to get through it. Texas has a real unique difference from everybody else. Our emission factors were developed before EPA ever put emission factors into play. And so we've had a set of emission factors sitting out there since the late 60s, early 70s, and we've always been a little worried that, you know, this one looks a little wrong, that one looks a little wrong, but what do? You don't have good numbers to change them. You can't just go in and mess with an emission factor for a state. So that was the second pressure point here, is we really needed to get the numbers in. Right now, Texas is in kind of a unique position because the chairman of our TCEQ, the agency, and the TCEQ is the second largest regulatory agency in the world. Biggest one's EPA. We're number two. And the chairman of that whole agency is a former professor, well, actually he's on leave, from A&M named Dr. Brian Shaw, who's an ag engineer and has done all his research on air quality work on agriculture. So we were, especially with the last set of elections going on, we've been pushing really hard because we want to be darn sure we got these things into play while we had a chairman in place that really understood the issues. And you'll see why in just a minute. So when people talk about dust, you almost have to switch gears when you go from EPA down to the state level. There's three kinds of dust. There's total dust. Total dust is everything under 100 microns. EPA could care less about total dust. They don't even regulate it anymore. But a lot of the states have to carry it. There's certain laws that we have in place in Texas that require us to carry total dust on our permits. So it's still in our permits, even though there's no real health effects associated with it. So it's a number we have to use, but it's not a health driving number. You got PM10. This is, you guys heard the farm dust bill. This is what they call farm dust. EPA counts this as coarse. So in Texas, coarse is 100. That's total is 100. But 10 is what EPA calls coarse. So we've got coarse, and then we got the really big stuff. I guess you could think of it that way. The one that everybody is worried about is PM2.5. It's small enough that it gets into your lungs. There's health effects. There's a lot of data showing that when people talk about dust being bad for you, what they really mean is 2.5 is bad for you. The 10 is very low concern. Total is no concern at all. So that's kind of how this stuff works. Now, the master test has 17 emission points, and there's a reason for that. There's points in here that some gens have, some gens don't. Some states do it one way, some states do it the other way. I'll just point out a couple of them here that I think are good examples. You'll see in this, and I've combined them, there's not 17 lines here, but two of the points are there's a first stage lint cleaner and there's a second stage lint cleaner, two different points. There's also a combined lint cleaner because out of the seven gens tested, some of them had one fan on the first stage, one fan on the second stage. Some of them had one fan for both stages. So there's actually three different numbers for lint cleaners in the master test. You know, when you get down to the state level, you have to combine it. So we cut the 17 down to 14 emission points. We've got three stages of pre-cleaning. We've got two stages of lint cleanings. We separated them out because, at least for us, there's an awful lot of our guys have cyclones on first stage lint cleaners, but not on the second stage. So we need those separate. Anyway, we cut it down to these 14 emission points. When you're putting these in, and I think it's really good the way that Buser and them are putting this data together, because they're putting it out in a real wide format, and that lets us combine it in ways that make sense for our state. So a couple of examples that are important, we spent a lot of time on this, is in the test that Buser and company ran, their first stage lint cleaner, you see a number of 0.155. That's the number they got for first stage lint cleaner. Second stage lint cleaner is 0.05. But the combined lint cleaner was 0.466. Now, out of these seven gens, there's maybe three of them were combined and the other four weren't. But if you add up the first two numbers, you get a number that's half of what the... So the question is, well, now why in the heck, if you combine the two, do you get a number twice as big as if you keep them separate? And we don't know. I mean, it's different gens, so it could be the gens. It could be, you know, it could be any number of things. So what I did when I went to the TCEQ and we started working on this, we said, well, you know what? We're just going to average all seven gens together and then divide the numbers back out. If you want to know how we did it, I'll tell you later. Don't think you care. But if you average all seven gens, what you end up with is a number one lint cleaner that's a 0.24, number two lint cleaner 0.077. If you look at that, it's a total of closer to a 0.3. So it's kind of in the middle of those two numbers. So we actually took all seven gens, combined them. The moats were the same way. If you look at the number one moat, number two moat, add those two up, you get a number that's a lot less than the combined moat. And again, why? We don't know, but we basically treated those the same way. So we got our numbers chosen. We chose the 17 points. The next trick, and this is something that I think you've heard this word oversampling. You've heard those terms about EPA's test references having a problem. Well, this data, we've got four different ways that they're running the data. One is they take method 17, they stick the the deal in the cyclone, and they get all the dust. They catch everything. They take that, put it in a sample, haul it back to the lab, and then they sort that. They sort it with the machine in the lab, and they give you a total number. They give you a PM10 number. They give you a PM2.5 number, and that's method 17 combined with particle size distribution. That's the numbers that Mike showed where the particle size distribution numbers are a whole lot lower. And the reason for that is the second method, you basically stick a snorkel in there, but when you suck out that air, method 201A actually has a little cyclone built into the thing, and it sorts it for you right there up there on the stack. But as y'all all know, when you sort stuff with a cyclone, that lint will go right through the thing, and you'll end up with lint on your PM10 sample. The third method is the same way, but you got two cyclones on that one, and you're actually sorting total 10 and 2.5. You're sorting all three out sitting up there on the stack. Now you got lint, you know, going all the way through them. So those are the methods. And fortunately, at TCEQ, I laid all this out for them, and I said, look, now the PM10 numbers are a whole lot bigger, you know, using the method, the federal method versus the lab method. And they looked at me and said, well, what did Dr. Parnell do? And I said, well, Dr. Parnell says particle size distribution is the way to go. And they said, all right, that's what Texas is doing. So in our case, it was a real easy argument. Texas has already said, we don't want to mess with method 201A. We want particle size distribution numbers. So based on that, the numbers that we're using and the numbers I'm showing you here, it's the method 17 numbers with particle size distribution. Now, here's where the problem starts to come in. You see that if you, this is just kind of every gen's different. Every gen has a different emission factor based on their different points. But just take kind of a standard gen with cyclones on the lint cleaners, standard gen with fine mesh screen on the lint cleaners. AP42 says, just running the top line there, AP42 says with cyclones on lint cleaners, you emit 2.4 pounds of bale. 7-gen test, this new test, says you emit 2. Well, that's great. We went down 20%. Of course, the little problem here is Texas factors say we emit 1.3 if you're stripper cotton and 0.3 if you're picker cotton. And everybody's always asked me, where in the devil did y'all get that 0.3? Well, now, this was done in the late 60s, guys. So I've been around a while, but not that long. So that's what we've got. Now, again, this is total dust. There's no health impacts associated with this, but when you walk into the state and say, hey, you know that 1.3 we've been using for 40 years? It's actually a 2. There's a little bit of an issue there. The PM10, it's got a little bit of health impact on it, not a whole lot. The numbers look a whole lot better. You can see, actually, the Texas factors come out right on the 7-gen test. EPA drops just a little bit. So, you know, from a PM10 standpoint, it's a push, which that's great. The 2.5, and this is where the test is important. 2.5 is something that we don't really have good numbers for, but it's also the one that's the true health impact measurement. AP42 has nothing. So we had no guidance there. The 7-gen test gave us numbers. You can see it's a 0.05. Texas was currently using a 0.7. So we're dropping by a factor of 10 on the one that really counts. We're even dropping off the picker number. So the bottom line is, from a health standpoint, looking at it, how much health impact do we have here? The answer is we got a whole lot less health impact than we thought, but we got a little procedural problem with the big dust. So where that comes in is here. A lot of states have a process weight rule. We've got one, too. It's this long, complicated formula, but I've kind of run some stuff here to give you an idea of what it looks like. At your ginning rates, you take the number tons of cotton coming in, you get a pounds that you're allowed. So at 20 bales an hour, we're allowed 52 pounds an hour, which comes out to 2.6 pounds a bale. No problem. 40 bales an hour, the limit's 1.8. 60 bales an hour, the limit's 1.3. You can see where the problem is. When our emission factor was 1.3, worked out pretty good. We were kind of cool. We could work with that. But when you change that from a 1.3 to a 2, all of a sudden on our process weight tables, we're blowing it at about 11 bales an hour. That's not good. So this is where having a chairman that understands what this really is all about works out great. The thing about the process weight tables, they were put back in the 60s. They were a way to generically make a plant, as it gets bigger, put on better pollution equipment. We can all agree that's reasonable. But the thing is, it's a process weight table. And we were using it as a number for a cotton gin. Well, what is a process? And that was where, when you have people up in the agency that understand the issue, they said, well, obviously we need to rethink what a process is. And so that's what we did. Hopefully I've got it in here. Nope, I don't. So, yeah, I do. There it is. So what we did is we went and broke the gin. And now, instead of one process, we're going to have three. We're going to have three different processes. We're going to have a pre-cleaning system, we're going to have a lint cleaning system, and we're going to have trash handling system. So what that means now is at 80 bales an hour, your pre-cleaning system has to emit less than 1.1 pounds a bale. Your lint cleaning system has to emit. So your total is actually 3.3 and not 1.1. That seems too easy to be true. But fortunately, if you've got people in the agency that know what they're doing, the easy answer can actually work. So that's what we're doing now. The difficulty with that is, and the problem that we're having, and it's taken a long time. These numbers that I'm showing you, you know, they look easy, but it took us a long time to come up with them, because there's two major problems that we still have in Texas. One is, if you were permitted for picker cotton, your number's going from 0.3 to 2. And there may not be enough breaking possible to get you under the process weight tables without adding some controls. That's going to happen in a couple of cases. The other one is, though, let's say that a guy decided he was going to put extra air pollution equipment on his trash fan to offset his lint cleaners. And it worked before, but now when you break them into three, you got three different pots. Well, if all your controls are in pot three and your problem's in pot two, it throws things off. And we're still working through that. We're going to be dealing with that. That is the Achilles heel that we've got, but it's limited to just a few gins out of our several hundred. So I think the bottom line is we're probably the only state that's going to have a problem with the total dust, and we've pretty much got that figured out. For Texas and everybody else, this data shows us that our PM10 numbers were pretty good. They're actually a little lower than we thought they are, so that helps. But the big deal is that PM2.5, that's what everybody's going to be going after. That's where the pressure is going to come from in the future. And we've now locked in a number that's, you know, it's a tenth of what we said it was. It's less than a tenth of what California said it was. So that number is going to be very, very critical. Permitting on a day-to-day basis, it doesn't matter. But when it comes time for the big pressure coming in, you know, the new rules, EPA rules, we're going to be able to show that we're a very, very minor player in that deal. And that's a big deal. So with that, I'll stop.
Any questions? All right, must have done a real good job. Yeah.